this is a session on our mother's songs, is what I have dubbed this. And we'll be talking about women's music. I think the way I want to start, well, let me see. Let me start out by telling you briefly a little bit about who I am. I've been performing and singing for about 21 years and writing songs professionally for 21 years. And the theme of so much of what I do revolves around women's lives and women's experiences, women's history. Certainly not all of it, but a good share of it revolves around that theme, and that's been very important to me. And part of the reason that's important to me is that when I was listening to music as I was growing up, there wasn't any category that I could identify as women's music. You know, when you thought of women's music, you thought of love songs and maybe lullabies. And that was the definition. And what women sang about was their relationships to men, which I still write about that too, certainly. But the definition was fairly narrow. It was still not that long since there had been, I think Kitty Wells was one of the first women to make a hit song, and that had been very recent history. So even women as performers, you know, sort of being solo performers in more pop music field was still relatively new. So when I started singing in probably the mid-late 60s and picking up folk music as a hobby, the first thing that I found out about folk music, because I hadn't grown up with folk music, I'd grown up with pop music and country music, but the first thing that I found out was that music could be a tool for social change, because certainly in the late 60s, it was a very powerful tool for a lot of the protests that were going on, for a lot of the consciousness raising from civil rights movement. And that's where, you know, my role models were people like Pete Seeger and Joan Baez, and then into the 70s and Judy Collins, and people who were singing really important songs, and these were women singing important songs about what was going on in the country and in the world. And that provided a really strong role model for me that I had really not had before. And about 1970, I became a feminist. And that may, for some of you push buttons, what do you mean by that? And for me, it simply meant that I became aware of my uniqueness as a woman, my power as a woman, a lot of lessons that I needed to learn about my position in society, which was radically different from what I had learned growing up. So it was a very important thing for me. And it began being expressed through my music. About that time, I'd already identified myself as a folk singer, that this is what I was going to do with my life. And that I was using it as a tool. In other words, I wasn't a folk singer to be an entertainer. I was a folk singer because I was basically a teacher and felt that my tool would be the music that I learned, or music that I wrote. So when I started writing with this sort of new feminist consciousness, then I started putting down my own experiences, because women's experiences historically have been so devalued. You know, we know by now, or most of us know, that when we think about our history books, that women's experiences were not considered very important by the people who wrote down our history. For instance, history is counted very much from war to war, and the dates of this war and the dates of that war, because this is the way that men tended to consider what was important, and it was more important to men. But in terms, women's history tends to be more circular. Now, we go by our family, by those closer contacts, by those relations. When we talk about our work, we well may be talking in terms of the people that we were relating to on our jobs, our families. This was what was important to us. But because it wasn't considered important by those writing the history, that was left out so much from the history books. So where then do you find that history that was left out? For me, one of the most valuable sources was women's songs, women's music, because this is what I started hearing in the early 70s at folk music gatherings. I started hearing some traditional songs like I had never heard before. You know, these really strong, gutsy women writing about all kinds of things. And this was in my tradition, but I had never heard it. We'll be talking about some of those songs in a minute. What are some other ways we learn about women's history?
Stories.
Yes, definitely. And a lot of these songs are stories. What are some other ways? Yeah, okay. And do you mean like the kind of patterns that are passed down and some of that? And
other quilts.
Yeah, okay. Quilts, yes. Jan and I prepared a song for the concert the other night, which maybe we can sing it today. Maybe we can.
We could try.
Which is on that theme exactly. Let's try and fit that in. How else?
Other arts,
paintings, yes. Other ways we hear about women's stories.
Cemeteries.
What a good idea. I hadn't thought about that before. And how? Can you expand on that?
Periods, epitaphs, but also the history of giving birth and deaths that occurred and infant mortality.
And you find out how many women did die in childbirth.
Right.
That's true. Or lived very
and
shortly.
And then other wives that came after, you know, the wives, one husband because of dying.
And many wives.
Just,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so
That's
much.
Right. That's part of what's sort of amazing when you look into women's history is how many women did, you know, how many men outlived their wives and had several wives.
Right.
Because life was very hard on women. Other ways?
Our mother's witnesses.
Pardon?
Our mother's witnesses of how they were.
The stories that are passed down through families. Yeah, very strong source. And I don't know about you, but my grandmother had the most wonderful stories that she would tell. And so many people in the family who lived around her didn't pay any attention. You know, we lived a long ways away, so we would go and we'd tape record the stories, and we were fascinated. But most people in the family, this wasn't important. You know, and there was just such a richness there. But the storytelling that goes on in families, yeah. Other sources?
Christmas traditions, like cooking.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a recipe song that just talks about that tradition, how recipes are like quilt patterns or basket weaving patterns or the things that are often passed down through families, and there are often memories connected with the making of this particular food. It's good. Other things?
Old photo albums.
Yes. Old photo albums are an excellent source. I worked with a project a few years ago called the Washington Women's Heritage Project. And these are the kind of sources we went to. Journals, diaries, old letters. Yeah. This is where that history is. Well, I could go on and on, but I do want to try and narrow down and focus in, because what we're really talking today are more about songs. But just for a minute, what I'd like you to do, I'd like to go around the room quickly and have each of you state two things. One, what do you think of when you hear the term women's music? And secondly, what has been one of your strong, you know, role models maybe, but a woman that you particularly admire who does music that maybe has influenced you in music? And it could be either a famous person or it could be somebody in your family or a friend or, you know, whatever, a music teacher. Could you each do that? So role models we're looking at, and we're looking at a definition of women's music. So let me start here. I'm throwing this at you quickly.
I guess just quickly coming to mind would be I was in elementary education and concentrated in music, and the music teacher that I had, the supervisor, was influential in my feelings about music. Was really toward children, but I mean, she still did a good job, and what else was it?
And when you think of the term women's music, do you have any preconceived ideas of what that might be?
If it had been mother's music, I probably would have thought of my own mother just singing songs to us that we learned as kids. But when you say women's music, I guess I would think more in country type music, much more than pop that type.
Well, interesting. Is there like a song you could think of or a name that you would think of as sort of a woman's song?
Well, not specifically. Maybe if I had a little more time, I could.
Yeah, okay.
Come up with
what, okay, thank you.
I guess I kind of think more in the folk term too. And had growing up in the high school ages in the late 60s, early 70s, the Judy Collins, Joan Baez, those types of people listening to. And I guess the person that influenced me the most was probably my mother with music, because she's right from the, you know, when I was real little, always had music in the home.
Oh, great. That's great. Okay.
Well, I guess I think women's music and the only thing that comes to my mind quickly would be my Sunday school teachers who taught us our little Bible school songs. I had some Bible school teachers that taught some wonderful songs that have stuck by me all through the years. Of course, music influenced me. I had a piano teacher who was fantastic at teaching me an appreciation of good music.
Great.
I've really never been that involved in music, except in school, where I was in the chorus and stuff like that. So I would have to say it would be started in the school. I came from a small town in North Dakota where they had small classes, but we made a little chorus out of it anyhow. And my mom was always humming. You know, it's one of those things, it was just part of her. She's a very happy person, and I think that's where it came into my life.
When I think of women in music, I think of like Annie Lou Harris, Judy Collins. As far as women that have been influential to me, I would say that my piano teacher, I remember Wilma Richardson used to teach me piano, and that's been really influential. And I can remember my grandmother singing in the car. We used to, when we had on long trips, she would sing. Yeah, I can remember her singing "Someone's in the Kitchen with Dinah," you know, just over, you know, just the way she used to sing it.
Okay.
I think probably the Judy Collins and Joan Baez are the chief kinds of avenues, and I think of women's music as tending to be relational and songs about inner experience rather than events.
Okay. Front row again.
I guess when I think of women's music, I just think of music that women wrote and sang and about their own experiences. Generic view. And a woman who was really influential for me was my grandmother.
And back.
I think of any music that it talks about affairs of the heart, or, you know, women's music seems to speak to issues and experiences and pain and joy and that sort of thing. And then in my family, we've always sung together. So I think women in my family have been influential.
And it was mostly the women who were, I'm sorry.
No, it was really everyone, but you know, we just had that strong heritage handed down in our family.
Okay. Sounds like in a lot of your families, it was the moms or the grandmas who were the singers and who kind of were passing on some traditions. Was that a general state? Was that somewhat true?
Yeah.
Not in your family. Okay, let's keep going. Yeah.
I guess I think much more exclusively women's music as being the music of the lesbian women's community. And even if you go into Tower Records and you say, where's women's music, they send you to Chris Williams and you can call us with Honey in the Run. And I think, you know, I think Chris Williams and then just up a couple weeks ago at Bellingham, I met Deidre McCullough and found out she's really real. You know, she's human, she's real. I appreciate that music, what they're saying. The words are what... The words are really powerful.
So for you, it's more of it's more political and just definitely has that definition.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what's so interesting when you get a group of women together and talk about women's music, because you find out, know, it's a very broad spectrum of what that includes. Okay.
Well, a lot of the music today really bugs me, and I think, you know, a lot of it is against women and stuff, but I like one singer that I like is Amy Grant, because I think she's, a lot of my friends, some of my friends listen to her, and she really changed some things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. In the back?
Okay, two questions.
Yes.
Women's music, I'm going to be a heretic or something, but I can't distinguish between women's music and men's music, because there's so many wonderful male singers who sing about feelings and the balance, etc. People like Burl Ives and on and on, wonderful folk singers. Mm-hmm. So I've never really thought about women's music or men's music. And I love a lot of the Rousey and men's songs, some of the musical comedies, or operas, as well as I do the women's songs. And as far as influence, I grew up in summer camps, and so we sang all the summer songs, camp songs. And then later on, I had an older sister who had all the power in the home, so we had to listen to her music. it was all classical and opera. And so I really felt I owe a great debt to her for my appreciation, just for exposing us to all that.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, I think of women's music in terms of life and love affirming and totally non-exploitive of anyone. And, you know, we didn't sing much in my home. I don't remember a radio until I was 10 or 11. And so I didn't care much for music until I discovered women's music, which it translates into the Joan Baez, Judy Collins, Holly Near, Chris, Meg, all of those. And, and they've really been a great influence because of their, well, maybe it's politics, but it's just their life view.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think the role model for me would be Joan Baez, who used music as a tool. When I first became aware it could be done, she was singing. And then my brother made me a tape. When I think of women's music, I think of a tape. My brother made me a Holly Near. It's one of the first women I heard sing about things besides, "Oh, you hurt me so bad. Oh, I love you so much and you hurt me so bad." Oh. And it was such a relief to hear something else.
Thank you.
I don't know. I guess I look at women's music as anything that women want to sing. You know, I have never really thought of it in terms of men's or women's music. But so I guess it's whatever they choose to do. You know, person who maybe has influenced me. Although I don't come from a musical family, I think my first thoughts about music are sitting at the piano with my grandmother, and she really didn't know how to play the piano. She was probably self-taught, but it was always the Heavenly Sunshine or something like this, you know, and she was playing little Sunday school songs and the Church in the Wildwood and then Sunday school with songs. And my aunt and my mother really made over me a lot, and they would sing Buttons and Bows and Little Lambsy Diving and all these things. And I can remember those way back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
that. Okay, thank you.
I was born in Germany, and we have a rich tradition of folk songs. And I grew up always singing with my brothers and sisters, my mother, doing dishes, going on hikes. We were always singing folk songs. And to this day we are, whenever we get together, we sing. And that has been, you know, very influential in my life. And even yesterday when I saw this little child, a two-year-old, getting lost in the meadow, I was reminded of this one song. Marie got lost in the meadow, and obviously was written by a woman, and the feelings that go along with it, this child got lost in the meadow and was found again. And it stays, I guess, you know, once the heritage I came grew up with will always stay with me. And partially I've passed it on to my children, but they were born here, so they were influenced by the American culture. folk songs.
Okay, thank you.
My turn. It's difficult for me to say in English, but in Japan, we usually, mother usually carry their children behind the back and tie them and rock them behind on the back, and they usually sing song for them, and then the child goes to sleep. And my mother did that for me too. I don't quite remember. I remember those songs, and they're really nostalgic for me.
Okay, thank you. Very good. In the back.
Well, I kind of feel like I'm in a different generation because I didn't listen to Joan Baez. the ones that you mentioned, but I guess when I think of women's songs, I think of lullabies and nursery rhymes and songs that I sang to my own children and I'm starting to sing to my grandchildren. And as far as a role model, I don't really think I have a role model, but one singer that I really liked to listen to when I was a child and as a young woman was Kate Smith, which you know, some of you don't even know. But that's about what I think about women's music.
Okay. Thank you. And through here.
When I think of women's music, I guess I think of more songs of like work of the day and what's going on the day. And I guess as far as being influenced by anybody, it'd be like a music teacher I had in my fourth grade.
Okay.
I don't even know her name anymore.
I still remember her.
That's great. Okay.
I remember growing up with Judy Collins and listening to that music as far as women's music. And I guess I don't have any. I know we always had music in the house, but I don't have, you know, I listen to all kinds now, so it doesn't, no particular role now.
Okay, way in the back.
I'm like her, I'm the wrong generation. I was brought up in North Dakota, and my first recollection of music on the radio was cowboy music, and I hated it. The kind of music I liked was what I learned at school and in the Sunday school. So I heard Joan Baez, but because she played guitar, I tuned her out. it took me years to tolerate the guitar. Now I love it, but I really had a very...
Let's see, right next to her.
That's my daughter.
Right.
I follow that. No, my sister did. Does she know that? My first, I guess my first thoughts of, I kind of go along with some of these traditionalist things. The music of women, for me, are the songs that that mothers teach their children. And Sunday school songs. Yeah, and Sunday school songs. And my probably my biggest influence was church music, because that was such a big part of our life. And then my grandmother was always singing, and mostly hymns. And so I would have to say that probably between the two of them, still, the hymns that we learn to sing in church are probably the most beloved of all music to me.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I was before the 60s and things too, so the music I think of, a lot of it is Sunday school music and camp music and church music. And I do like classical music, and I'm kind of a rebel, I guess, too. It's not women's music. I prefer men singing. and because of my dad in the home, he was the musical person. And, my dad was a tenor, and his friend in the choir, he was a bass, and whenever they needed anybody to sing a duet for any funeral, anything, it was always my dad and Kermit, the bass. And so I just remember growing up with that, with those men singing and in the choir. And Mom would sit in church with the four kids, and Dad would be up in the choir, and if anything happened, you know, or if we started causing trouble, he would just go like this or look at us. And so I think about that part with music. But I love any kind of music. And my father influenced me, and then probably my piano teacher, who was our church organist, and the choir director when I was in junior high and senior high, Dottie Thompson. She was wonderful. Okay. And of course, now I'm an elementary teacher, so I teach music and things to my own students and things. So.
Okay, thank you.
When I think of women's music now, I think of a real excitement and expression that has kind of been held back. When I think of the hymns growing up, they were my guitar for you. I just couldn't stand them. They were either too high and I didn't understand the words, I couldn't even read the words fast enough because they're so complicated, but now I've grown to appreciate them too. But women's music now is a new kind of expression that's very exciting, that has kind of been held back. And one of the most influential people lately, I've had people over, is a person named Rhoda Anderson, who I worked with at a summer camp for a few years. And she has since put out a tape, too, just started. But the reason she is so influential to me is that she sings from the heart. And when I think of relating to someone as a woman, she sings from the heart, and there's so much spiritual music and relationship music when she sings. And it's sometimes hard to speak how much you believe in God, how much you love God and what God has done for you. But somehow when you sing it in a song, you can put that feeling behind it without being as embarrassed or something. I don't know how to express it. But she's really been a model, and has helped bring it out of me.
Okay, thank you. Jane?
There was always a lot of music in our home, and when you first said that, I thought, well, that was Mother, but then I got to thinking, I don't remember hearing her sing very much. I mean, I'm sure she did, but I don't remember her voice, but I do remember my dad's voice. But he was not a performer, but in the shower, you know, around the house, he had a wonderful tenor voice, and sang a lot of the old-timers from the 20s and things when he was growing up. It was kind of fun. Sometimes it was popping in my mind, you know. I'll be singing them too. Also hymns. But I also thought of my sisters because we sang camp songs and harmonized, and there were four of us. And we had a lot of fun with that. But when I think of women's music, I do think of Joan Baez and Judy Collins and those, because they were the ones who kind of brought forward like a different genre of song and said, here. And I'm not sure, obviously it wasn't totally about women, but I'd like to think of more as people's songs. Of course, some political, too. Mm-hmm. But they were able to sing things that men didn't think about singing when maybe they could have just as easily. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
I guess when I think of women's music, I'm back to being the mother and the children and the comfort and the joy and the calming effect enjoyment of life itself through music with children. I think of children, I guess, and music. And someone who was influential to me, I think, was my sister, who helped me memorize hymns and so on. And she'd had a terrible voice, but she kind of helped me to realize that memorizing songs would be kind of a way of just a spiritual experience. And so it's been very helpful to me.
Okay, thank you.
My experience with music has been horrible. I was asked to do lip sync during choir, and I was asked
just
told
your
to
lips.
Twirl baton instead of play the drums, which I didn't do. But the person that, and my family just didn't do a lot of music, Joni Mitchell was the first person that I think really got me, because I saw her as a poet, and I saw intellect and strength, and I love that, and I love, of course, the other women. The person in my life now is my daughter, who's just an absolute musical delight and has taught me the most. she composes her own songs on the piano, and picked up on your concert the other night, and I've been hearing the chorus. She's 6 years old. Wouldn't it be nice?
That she just
she woke up singing it this morning, and she says, you know, her voice is just like mine. She hears the tone in your voice, and so I got your tapes to take home with her. She danced in the music of life, and so to watch her without any training or with just watching her move and pick up and dance and sing and compose, it's just sort of a little treasure every day.
That's wonderful.
Yes. Well, my definitely was my mother, which I still can remember her saying, I sing because I'm happy, I sing because I'm free, and she lived to almost a few days short of 96, but her mind went along the way, and we took care of her, and our rooms were back to back, so she reverted to Swedish. In the middle of the night, she had this song. It sounded like she was drunk, and I don't know for this day, but I did record it, and so every night we would wake up, because we'd have to get up during the night anyway, to this song, and we'd sort of laugh at one another, and for her memorial service, I did want to do the first song, but at the last minute I asked somebody to do it and I couldn't find the music, so we had Behold a Host and the Hallelujah Chorus. I didn't inherit that, but I do appreciate it very much, and I married a husband who's a pianist and very musical, so I do seriously enjoy it.
Oh my. This is just always such an education for me to hear how people define this, because I have my own agenda in my head of what women's music is, which is probably quite different from most of you. May I ask, would you mind closing the door and seeing and someone over there and turning on the lights? I think we could use them a little bit. So in the very brief time we have, I'd like to offer some of my ideas of what I've come to define for myself as women's music. And there are no wrong answers. All of what you have said is also absolutely valid, and I feel like it's almost a little facetious for me to now jump in and say, well, this is what women's music really is. You know, obviously, all of this is, you know, all of this is women's music. It's all part of the rich cultural mix and heritage we have that adds to the wonderful repertoire we all have to draw from. But I'm going to narrow it down just a bit and just offer sort of, an alternative view of what I consider women's music. For one thing, it's very rooted in the kind of traditions you've all talked about. It's very rooted in the fact that women were so often the ones who carried forth this tradition in their community. Often they were the ones who, in earlier times, they were some of the very first priests and played a strong role in the religious life of the community, you know, and that's passed down through hymns now, you know, through some of those songs that women, that tradition that women carry forth. It was also that they were sort of the ones who kept the moral integrity of the community. They helped define that through the kinds of songs that they chose to sing and pass on, often songs that had a little moral at the end. I don't know about some of your memories or some of the songs your mothers or teachers may have sung to you, but especially in around turn of the century, they all had to have a little moral twist at the end because they were teaching songs. They were used for that. There's one definition in one collection of folk songs that I'll read you. It said that the women, particularly of the last century, lived in a time where they had a tradition of a rather rigid, conservative moral system. And so they sang songs that were popular in, you know, maybe England or Ireland, but they were highly censored, you know, because this was more the that tradition. And Alan Lomax says, the themes of the ballads cherished by these backwoods American women dealt with thoughts of revenge, morbid death wishes, guilt-ridden violence, and guilt-ridden fantasies of escape. Always the sorrows of women would bring these themes for women for whom love and marriage meant grueling labor, endless childbearing, and subservience. Censored out are the British ballads in which men play a hero's part. Censored out and gone are the Scots ballads of rape and pregnancy and the seduction songs of southern England. In their place are later broadside pieces of the faithful and virtuous maiden who gets her man. Yet more than half the ballads, and this is in the southern white tradition, more than half the ballads composed by white folk singers in America deal with the story of the pregnant girl murdered by her treacherous lover. It's amazing. So this sort of predates a lot of the memories and songs you're talking about that came from your own heritage. But this was the role that women played, you know, in their community. And still, you know, as I said, I'm sure a lot of the songs you've talked about also carried a little of that moral twist, or maybe some of that tradition. Country music really carried forth a lot of that tradition that women were expected to stand by their man. Women had a certain role in the family, in relationship to the family, and weren't expected, if they stepped out of that line, if they became the honky-tonk angel or whatever, you know, they were sort of angels or they were whores. You know, there wasn't a lot of room in between, and you're going to be pretty highly censored if you fall into that honky-tonk angel. You know, of course, there was a great comeback. Maybe that was Kitty Wells, one of her first country hits, was "It Wasn't God That Made Honky-Tonk Angels." That was a real good comeback to that one. And I consider one of the first, by my definition of what women's songs, and I hope by the end of this very short time we have left, you're going to get a little better idea of how, for myself, I define women's music. Because she was speaking for herself. She was speaking for herself somewhat in relation to this man, but she was saying, hey, you know, you condemn us. You want us to either be on a pedestal, or you want us to be, or you, you know, claim that we're whores, but look at this kind of life. I mean, you go out and play around, and then you want me to stay home. And, you know, looking at the double standard, which in the 1950s was a pretty radical thing to do. Because for those people my age, the songs we grew up with in the 1950s, again, the pop songs, it was a continual message of our need and our dependency on men. If you go back and listen to some of those pop songs, you know, the rock and roll we grew up with, the message is very strong. So what for me began to define this nebulous thing called women's music, and by my definition, it's something quite different than just songs women sang, because all of that is part of the heritage and the history. But what started to define it was that it was women talking about their own lives, not just in relationship to men, but in relationship to their own concerns and their own visions. So it was a little bit different. But I want to back up just a little bit and again talk about some traditional songs, since that's sort of what I want to emphasize today, and look at some of the categories of women's songs that it might have fallen in. Okay, and this again predates a lot of our mothers and even grandmothers, this older times, but the songs have been passed down. Songs of fantasy. Remember, songs were a favorite method of escape, right? So you have songs like, this is a good one. This really should take 2 hours. I'll see how it goes. We may schedule in a second session because we're going to definitely run out of time. And I'd like to do sing some of these songs for you rather than just refer to songs you've never heard of. So, there's one called Country Girl Blues. Now, this I'm not exactly sure how old this one is, but it's a good example of a kind of blues, because the blues genre was one in which it was, somebody referred to this, kick me, beat me, you know, till I'm black and blue all over, and I'll love you anyway, and I'll come back for more. You know, this was typical women's role. Now, there were some great black singers who definitely had songs that broke out of that role. Somebody who's more knowledgeable about blues may have some ideas of that, but can't think of names, Bessie Smith. Some of these women just were very independent and very strong. So, Ma Rainey, good, thanks. There were, that's part of our tradition too. But here's a country one. I was born in the country, thought I was easy to rule. I was born in the country, thought the times, they're a-changing, babe, and this country gal ain't anybody's fool. You're a mean one, Papa, make a long-time woman hurt down deep. You're a mean one, Papa, you make a long-time woman hurt down deep. Gonna find me another candy man to rock this little baby down to sleep.
I give sugar for sugar. Now I give salt for salt. And if you don't like it, babe, well, I guess it's just your own damn fault. Well, you get the idea. You know, this was a genre of women moving on. You don't treat me right, I'm not going to stick around. You know, well, this was radical stuff. You know, this was radical stuff from what I grew up with. And I heard this, and someone said, this is women's music. And I thought, wow! You know, it just opened up a whole realm of possibilities, you know, of other kinds of visions. One that maybe falls a little bit in that, which is fairly rare. You know, there's a very old song called Gypsy Davy. Now, again, that was sort of a fantasy song. How many women really could pick up and leave was pretty doubtful. But at least they had songs that would express some of these longings to do that if things became too difficult. Now, Gypsy Davy was a much older ballad. And though I would imagine in a lot of sort of the Southern backwoods tradition, they would have put a moral here. They probably didn't like this song in ways because... Well, of course they sang it, they kept it alive. At the end, she sort of gets away with it, you know. I mean, the cost is, she runs off with a gypsy. But the trade-off for her was that she lost her baby in the process. And so there was the punishment, you know, because there always had to be punishment, you know, in that kind of music. But at least she, you know, the fantasy was fulfilled. She did run off with a gypsy. Okay. And a lot of times these songs would be about kings and queens and counts and things that certainly didn't exist in backwoods, you know, southern Appalachia. But again, these were images that came from their traditions. It was late last night when the boss came home, asking for his lady. The only answer that he got, she's gone with the gypsy Davy. Gone with the gypsy Davy. Go saddle for me my milk white horse with $100 saddle. Put out to me their wagon track, and after them I'll follow. After them I'll ride. In the light of the campling fire, I saw her fair face beaming, her heart in tune with the big guitar and the voice of the gypsy singing. Of the gypsy day. Have you forsaken your house and home? Have you forsaken your baby? Have you forsaken your husband dear to go with the gypsy baby? To go with the gypsy day. Yes, I've forsaken my husband dear to go with the gypsy Davy. And I've forsaken my mansion high, but not my blue-eyed baby. She smiled to leave her husband dear to go with the gypsy Davy, but the tears come a tumbling down her cheeks to think of the blue-eyed baby, to think of the blue-eyed baby. So it goes on. A lot of you might be familiar with this one. And during the folk, some of us refer to as the folk scare of the 60s, a lot of these songs, a lot of these traditional songs were being played on AM radio. It was a rather unique time. But they had been so badly cut up and massacred and censored, you know, to make them sort of okay for a popular message. And a lot of the heart was ripped right out of them, or the real meaning. House of the Rising Sun, we'll get to that in a different category, but well, I'll talk about that then. Okay, so... Songs of fantasy. Part of the fantasy would be murder ballads. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Remember that one? It was, again, if you look more in where that song came from, it was a song called Tom Doola before that. It was an early form of abortion. You know, this is why she was most likely murdered. He didn't want to deal with a baby. He'd probably gotten her pregnant. But, of course, that's certainly not the version you heard on the radio when it came around. But there are a lot of murder ballads, and very rarely are the tables turned. But it's when the tables are turned, it's when the false lover takes her down to the river to throw her in and murder her, right? You know, which is a real typical theme. And it's when she plays a trick on him, and she turns the table somehow and winds up doing him in. Those were the songs that, for me, started defining women's music.
you know, the songs where it presented a different image. She wasn't just victim anymore. She wasn't just passive. That she came back and she was turning the tables. So that, again, started defining for me what women's music was, because those were the kind of models I was seeking out and needing. Okay, so that's a category of songs of fantasy. We still do that. There's still a whole lot of those songs. If you start listening with some of these, this little bit of structure in mind, then and start screening through some of the songs you're hearing on the radio. Country music is a good source because so many of them are stories. Sorry, Beth, you know. But I hated country music when I was growing up, too, because I also got overexposed to it, but have come back and have a new appreciation for it, because my favorite thing about folk songs is that it's good stories. And on pop music, the closest I come is often through country music, because it tells good stories.
Well, the country music I heard, it seems is so much different than what we hear now. It's kind of grown up too.
That's right.
It was real twangy and, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It has more of a much.
That's right. No, I think that's absolutely true. So listening to that, you'll hear again songs on the radio now about women's sort of longings, their fantasy for a different life. And for many women who feel really trapped in the roles in the life they have, those songs are real important. Okay. Songs of complaint. Now, these are songs of everyday life and trials, the work songs. These are the kind of songs. I'll start out with Courtin songs. Oh, we had more time. Okay. They say young men are bold and free. Beware, oh, take care. They tell you they're lovers, but they're liars, you see. Beware, oh, take care. Beware, young ladies, they're fooling you. Trust them not, they're fooling you. Beware, young ladies, they're fooling you. Beware, oh, take care. They smoke, they chew, they wear fine shoes. Beware, oh, take care. And in their pocket is a bottle of booze. Beware, oh, take care. Beware, young ladies, they're fooling you. Trust them not, they're fooling you. Beware, young ladies, they're fooling you. Beware, oh, take care. They put their hands up to their hearts. They sigh, oh, they sigh. They say they love no one but you. They lie, oh, they lie. Beware, try this chorus. Beware, young ladies, they're fooling you. Trust them not, they're fooling you. Beware, young ladies, they're fooling you. Beware, oh, take care. This is a whole nother genre, you know. These are songs I certainly didn't grow up with, you know, but when I started hearing them, I just was taken by them. I didn't know women were singing and passing on. That's a very old song that was passed down. I'm sure those are the kind of songs that would get sung at the quilting bees, you know, would get sung where women gathered together, and they were just sort of poking fun at the men and how men were, and a lot of those. There's another one, let's see. Come all you Missouri girls and listen to my noise. Don't you go around with those Texas boys, because if you do, your fate will be Johnny Cake and Venison and Sassafras Tea. Johnny Cake and Venison and Sassafras Tea. So, certainly a lot of the songs of complaint had to do with the men. You know? So those were sort of Courtin songs. There's older traditions about not, because in England in olden times, often young girls would be married off to old men, sometimes because they were wealthy and there would be more money in the family, sometimes because all the marriable men of that age had been wiped out in a war, and all that was left were the old men. And so there were warning songs like an old man came courting me, hey, derry, derry, down. The old man came courting me being young. An old man came courting me, da, da, da. Dee, 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 oh, mates, when you're young, never wed an old man. And she goes through this whole thing about how, you know, she throws her leg over him and darn nearly smothered him. And, you know, it's sort of erotic song, you know, goes through this and just sort of saying, and then I went off and found a nice young lover. That's another genre. Also, a lot of them are very sexual. You know, a lot of from the British tradition, these are the kinds that got censored out when they got to America. But in the Scots and English and British tradition, a lot of them are very erotic and sensual, and that women are fully, they're not passive victims, they're fully involved in the whole scenario that's going on here, which is fun. It's really fun. It was really fun to me to discover there was a tradition of that, of erotic songs in women's music as well, or what I would define as women's music. Work songs. A lot of songs that complained about the conditions. We're going to get into union songs a little later specifically, but just everyday complaints. And there are some real strong ones. When I first started learning some of the history of women's work, which is another whole area that's so interesting to me, a lot of what I learned was through the songs that had been passed on. Like this one, I think, is from about the 1860s. Let's see. Now, I get these two mixed up. I'm not sure which is the oldest one. Yonder stands that spinning room boss. He looks so fair and stout. I hope he'll marry a factory girl before this year goes out. Pity me all day. Pity me, I pray. Pity me, my darling, and carry me far away. I'll bid you, factory girl, on. But what's unique about this, as opposed to like a union song? In the union song, women were starting to think, you know, these conditions are terrible, we're going to get together and we're going to change them. But women in this country were in the factories starting about late 1700s on the East Coast and the textile mills. And at that time, it started out as fairly nice. It was actually not a bad alternative for young girls off the farms. The small farm system was having a hard time supporting the large families. The girls would go off to these mills and work there. And at first it wasn't too bad. Nice little boarding houses and nice little communities were formed. But as the pressure, the industrial pressure, built, more and more, of course, these women were abused. The conditions became much worse. The pay got worse. But there wasn't a whole lot of thought about unionizing. There was just thought of as sort of a personal salvation, which meant you marry the boss, right? You know? And that seemed one of the few ways out of the oppressive condition they found themselves in. There weren't a lot of options. So again, that's what makes a song like this different from the union songs we'll talk about later. Okay, another kind of, again, this whole category is songs of complaint. Lullabies, and a lot of you have mentioned lullabies when you think of women's songs, and I think that's very true. I think that's very much a part of women's music, and that is for me as well. But it's interesting that lullabies were actually a lot more diverse than we may have thought of. We think of the really gentle. How about this one? Rock-a-bye, baby, sing it with me. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come, baby, cradle and all. That's a violence. I grew up with that song. I never even thought about the words, but you think about the words, and that's kind of scary. I wouldn't sing that to a little child who could understand the words now. But think about some of these other ones. We all fall down. Isn't that incredible? You start looking into folk music, there's some real strong stuff there. Yeah. There's one. What'll I do with a baby, oh? What'll I do with a baby, oh? What'll I do with a baby, oh? If she won't go to sleepy, oh? Wrap her up in calico, wrap her up in calico, wrap her up in calico, send her to her daddy, oh? What'll I do? Try this chorus part. What'll I do with a baby, oh? What'll I do with a baby, oh? What'll I do with a baby, oh? If she won't go to sleepy, oh? Dance her north and dance her south. Dance her north and dance her south. Dance her north and dance her south. Pour a little moonshine in her mouth. That's what with a baby, oh. That's what I'll do with a baby, oh. What'll I do with a baby, oh? What'll I do with a baby, oh? What'll I do with a baby, oh? If she won't go to sleepy, oh? Tell her daddy when she comes home. Tell her daddy when she comes home. Tell her daddy when she comes home. And give old Blue the chicken bone. That's what I'll do with a baby, oh. That's what I'll do with a baby, oh. Now, those verses get stronger. There's things like, what'll I do when the baby bawls? Throw the baby against the wall. What'll I do when the baby cries? Poke my finger in the baby's eyes. Now, this song was very old, very popular, and it was apparently popular among the young girls who would have to go off and babysit the little ones during the play parties. And so you couldn't take it off on the kids, but you wrote songs about it, you know. And so maybe part of the reason that a lot of these lullabies are fairly violent, you know, if you look a little deeper, is because it was a way for women to get out some of their feelings without, you know, hurting or offending the baby, but it was sort of an outlet. And then here's another one. This I got from the Singing of Rosalie Sorrells, and I really don't know if this is a, how old a song this is, but I used to sing this to my little darlings. This is when they were young enough to not know the words or understand the words, you know. This is the day we give babies away with a half a pound of tea. If you know any ladies who want any babies, just send them around to me. This is the day we give babies away with a half a pound of tea. You just open the lid and you pull out a kid with a written guarantee. This is the day we give babies away with a half a pound of tea. Very soothing. So this is just to add to your knowledge of all the lullabies, the sweet, wonderful lullabies. They're also, of course, a part of our rich tradition, but there is that. They're called hostile baby rocking songs. That's part of our tradition, too. And again, when I think of women's music, it's having both sides of that. Apron songs. Now, here's another whole genre. Women in my condition, if you put on an apron, you know, and tie it here, well, sort of the image in apron songs, and it's a popular motif that comes through a lot of the songs, is that once you're pregnant, you can't tie your apron strings anymore. You know, you're too big. So one of the most popular songs, and I'm sure all of you will know, I don't know that you ever knew what this was quite about, because I don't think in the censored out version that was popular, it quite came through, but it goes like this. Love, sing it with me. Love, oh, careless love. Love, oh, careless love. Love, oh, careless love. Oh, look what love has done to me. It's once my apron pins. Once my apron hung down low. It's once my apron hung down low. It's once my apron hung down low. I scarce could keep you from my door.